Section 4. Evidence and Interpretation. The Appraisal Committee considered evidence from a number of sources, both of which are included in the appendix to the original document, which I will read to you at the end of this recording. 4.1 Clinical Effectiveness, 4.1.1. The Assessment Group's systematic review identified two published randomized controlled trials, RCTs, of ranibizumab and two published RCTs of pegaptinib. In addition, two reports of RCTs of ranibizumab were submitted that were unpublished at the time the assessment report was written. The main outcomes measured in the RCTs were changes in visual acuity, loss, maintenance, gain, mean change, and deterioration to legal blindness, anatomical changes in CNV lesions, visual function, questionnaire scores, and adverse events. Ranibizumab, 4.1.2. Four RCTs of ranibizumab, Marina, Anchor, Peer, and Focus, were included in the assessment report and the manufacturer's submission. The length of follow-up in the trials varied from 12 to 24 months, and the doses used were 0.3 milligrams and 0.5 milligrams. The populations in the trials met inclusion criteria, including best corrected visual acuity between 612 and 696, no permanent structural damage to the central fovea, lesion size less than or equal to 12 disc areas in the greatest linear dimension, and evidence of recent presumed disease progression, blood vessel growth as indicated by fluorescein angiopathy, or recent visual acuity changes. Outcomes were assessed at different time points, and the number and frequency of injections varied among the trials. 4.1.3. Statistically significantly more patients receiving the 0.5 milligram ranibizumab compared with both sham injections, the Marina study, and PDT, Anchor study, lost fewer than 15 letters of visual acuity from baseline to 12 months. A third of the 0.5 milligram ranibizumab group gained at least 15 letters compared with 4% of the sham injection group at 24 months in the Marina study. In the Anchor trial, 40% of the 0.5 milligram ranibizumab group gained at least 15 letters compared with 6% of the PDT sham injection group. In the FOCUS study, 24% of the 0.5 milligram ranibizumab plus PDT group gained at least 15 letters compared with 5% of the sham injection plus PDT group. That's P equals 0.0033. 4.14. The Marina, Anchor, and Focus trials all reported mean increases in visual acuity in the 0.5 milligram ranibizumab group compared with baseline. Gains in letters range from 4.9 in the Focus trial, that's the 0.5 milligram ranibizumab plus PDT group, to 11.3 letters in the Anchor study, the 0.5 milligrams ranibizumab group. In the Marina trial, gains in letters range from 7.2 to 6.6 at 12 and 24 months respectively. Corresponding losses in the sham groups were 8.2 letters in the Focus trial, 9.5 in the Anchor trial, sham injection plus PDT groups, 10.4 and 14.9 letters at 12 and 24 months in the Marina trial, and these differences were statistically significant. 4.1.5. Most adverse events were mild to moderate. Conjunctival hemorrhage was the most widely reported eye-related adverse event, but its incidence varied among the ranibizumab RCTs, and it was also common in the control groups. More patients in the ranibizumab group experienced increased intraocular pressure and vitreous floaters than those in the sham injection group. Endophthalmitis affected about 1% and 0.7% of patients in the Marina and Anchor RCTs, respectively. Pegaptinib, 4.1.6. The combined results of the two concurrent RCTs, one carried out in the USA and Canada and other centres worldwide, comparing doses of 0.3 milligrams, 1.0 milligrams and 3 milligrams pegaptinib with sham injections, were published as the VISION study. A total of 1,208 patients with all types of CNV lesions were included. Patients were followed for up to 54 weeks, then for a further 48 weeks after re-randomization. 4.1.7. In the VISION study, statistically significantly more patients receiving 0.3 milligrams of pegaptinib compared with sham injection lost fewer than 15 letters of visual acuity from baseline to 54 weeks. Statistically significantly more patients in the 0.3 milligram group gained at least 5 letters, 22%, compared with 12% in the sham injection group, p equals 0.004. Gains of at least 10 letters were reported for 11% of the 0.3 milligrams pegaptinib group, compared with 6% of the sham injection group, p equals 0.02. Few patients, 4%, gained more than 15 letters. 4.1.8. Mean loss of letters of visual acuity at 54 weeks was significantly higher in the sham injection group than in the 0.3 milligram pegaptinib group. Mean losses of 7.5 letters were observed in the 0.3 milligram pegaptinib group, compared with a mean loss of 14.5 letters in the sham injection group. 4.1.9. A study reported that the risk of non-response at the end of 2 years was lower for patients who stopped pegaptinib after 1 year compared with those who had never received the drug. The assessment group considered this to be biologically plausible because anti-VEGF drugs target the underlying disease in AMD rather than simply treating the symptoms. However, it also noted that the decline in the proportion of responders, those losing fewer than 15 letters from 54 weeks to 102 weeks in the VISION study, was the same for patients who received the 0.3 milligram dose as for those who had never received the drug, 14%. 4.1.10. In the VISION study, most adverse events reported were mild to moderate. After 1 year of treatment, they were similar among treatment arms except for vitreous floaters, vitreous opacities, and anterior chamber inflammation. Eye-related adverse events were more common in the study eye among patients in the sham injection group than the 0.3 milligrams pegaptinib group, suggesting that the preparation procedure itself, which included an ocular antisepsis procedure and an injection of subconjunctival anesthetic, may be associated with adverse events. Endophthalmitis affected about 1.3% of all patients in the first year. In 2/3 of these cases, there had been a protocol violation, for example, failure to use aseptic technique. 4.2, cost-effectiveness. 4.21. Published Economic Evaluations 4.2.1.1. The assessment group identified 421 publications relating to cost-effectiveness in AMD. None of these were fully published economic evaluations of either pegaptinib or ranibizumab. In addition, publications were identified from the manufacturer's submissions. Three conference abstracts identified and reviewed model-based evaluations of pegaptinib. 4.2.2, manufacturer's submissions, 4.2.2.1. Both manufacturers provided economic evaluations. The manufacturer's models took an NHS and personal social services perspective. In addition, both models used evidence-based data for the first 2 years, after which there was extrapolation based on the life expectancy of the cohort. Both models used a Markov approach, with the states being different levels of visual acuity and death. Costs and benefits in both cases were discounted at 3.5%. There was no direct or indirect comparison of the two technologies. Pegatinib, 4.2.2.2. The manufacturer model for pegatinib was a Markov state transition model comparing the cost-effectiveness of the licensed dose of pegatinib, 0.3 milligrams, every 6 weeks for a maximum of 2 years, with usual care in the NHS. Usual care was identified as the best supportive care, visual rehabilitation and provision of visual aids, for all patients, with the addition of PDT with vertiporfin in patients with predominantly classic lesions. 4.2.2.3. The model has 12 states defined by declining visual acuity from 612 to 696, and an additional absorbing state, death. However, a visual acuity of 612 is regarded clinically as the point at which the disease is likely to lead to major impairment of quality of life, for example, the point at which a person can no longer drive. The base case analysis is based on all lesion types. 4.2.2.4. Treatment was stopped if visual acuity dropped below 696 or by six or more lines from a baseline at the end of a year. This is referred to as Scenario A. The cost-effectiveness of adopting an alternative stopping rule with a higher threshold of visual acuity, 660, for stopping pegatinib treatment, labelled Scenario B, is also reported in the submission. Cycle length in the model is 6 weeks, and there is a 10-year horizon, life expectancy of patients with a mean age of 77. 4.2.2.5. Results of sensitivity analysis carried out by the manufacturer show that the costs and probabilities of receiving visual impairment services and the model time horizon had a significant effect on the incremental cost-effectiveness ratios, ICERS, ICERS. For example, the ICER for a 3-year time horizon was between £55,000 and £60,000 per quality adjusted life year, QALY, reducing to £30,000 per QALY when the time horizon was increased to 5 years. In the base case, the ICER over a 10-year time horizon was about £15,800 for Scenario A and about £14,200 for Scenario B. Ranibizumab, 4.2.2.6. The manufacturer's submission compared the use of ranibizumab with the best supportive care for patients with minimally classic or occult no classic lesions and with both PDT with vertiporfin and the best supportive care for patients with predominantly classic lesions. The different types of wet AMD were analyzed separately based on results from 4 RCTs, Anchor, Marina, Peer and TAP. 4.2.2.7. Because the ANCHOR trial did not include a sham injection arm, comparison between treatment with ranibizumab and best supportive care for patients with predominantly classic lesions was made through indirect comparisons using data from the TAP study, in which PDT was compared with best supportive care. The Marina trial data were also used to estimate the natural history of the disease for extrapolating trial outcomes over 10 years. 4.2.2.8. Okay. The modelling approach used was similar to the manufacturer's model for pegatinib, in that a Markov model was developed to simulate the change in visual acuity levels for cohorts of patients with subfoveal CNV. The model has 5 health states with visual acuity states ranging from 615, least severe, to 360, most severe. The assessment group noted that the manufacturer applied a different dosing schedule from that used in the clinical trials. The Marina and Anchor trials involved 24 injections over 2 years and 12 injections over a year, respectively, but in the base case analysis for the model, 8 injections in the first year and 6 injections in the second year were used with the assumption that the same clinical efficacy would be achieved with this lower dosing frequency. 4.2.2.9. The base case ICER, I-C-E-R-S, over a 10-year time horizon for predominantly classic lesions were about £4,500 for ranibizumab versus PDT and about £14,800 versus best supportive care. Also, for ranibizumab versus best supportive care, it was about £26,400 for occult no classic lesions, about £25,800 for minimally classic lesions, and about £12,000 for all lesion types. 4.2.2.10. The manufacturer's submission states that the probability of ranibizumab being cost-effective at a willingness-to-pay threshold of £30,000 per quali for patients with predominantly classic lesions when compared with PDT is 100%. Equivalent values for the comparison with best supportive care are 96% for predominantly classic lesions, 59% for minimally classic lesions, and 57% for occult no classic lesions for a threshold of £30,000 per quali. 4.2.3. The assessment group model. 4.2.3.1. The assessment group's model evaluated the cost-effectiveness of ranibizumab and pegabtinib compared with current practice, PDT, with vertiporfin for classic no occult lesions or predominantly classic lesions and best supportive care for all lesion types. They used the following clinically accepted categories of response: intermediate vision loss, loss of 15 to 30 letters, and severe vision loss, loss of more than 30 letters. The estimated impact of these changes on visual acuity was measured using a Markov state transition model. 4.2.3.2. A six-state Markov model was developed, and the rate of disease progression was expressed as the probability of progressing to a different level of visual acuity health state in each model cycle. The model extrapolated the effects of the 2-year trial period to 10 years in both arms of the model. Given that pegabtinib and ranibizumab treatments are assumed to have stopped by year 2, benefits are assumed to decline at the same rate as those for usual care, although from a higher level of visual acuity. 4.2.3.3. The cost of adverse events of the treatments were also included in the model. Health state utilities reported by Brown et al. Were used as they were considered to be the most credible published utility values for visual loss associated with AMD. Pegabtinib, 4.2.3.4. The assessment group estimated the base case ICER, I-C-E-R, for pegabtinib, all lesion types, compared with usual care to be about £31,000 per quali over a 10-year time horizon. 4.2.3.5. The assessment group carried out a sensitivity analysis for different assumptions used in their model. Time horizon has a strong effect on cost-effectiveness estimates. As the time horizon increases, the incremental cost of pegabtinib reduces and the incremental quali gain increases. In addition, the excess costs of treatment are all incurred in the first 2 years. The assessment group reported that the more rapid disease progression in the usual care cohort leads to increased costs associated with services for visual impairment, which offset an increasing proportion of treatment costs for the pegabtinib cohort. 4.2.3.6. The assessment group also performed a sensitivity analysis to reflect the disease-modifying effect of pegaptinib. Based on an analysis of non-response, that is, loss of at least 15 letters of visual acuity from baseline, in patients randomized to stop treatment after 1 year and those who were never treated, it has been suggested that pegaptinib treatment is associated with a 30% reduction in non-response. This relative risk reduction was applied to the estimated transition probabilities for losing 3 to 6 lines and losing more than 6 lines of visual acuity in the sensitivity analysis. Since this effect has only been demonstrated for patients in the year following discontinuation of the treatment, it was first applied only in year 3 of the 10-year model, resulting in an ISA of £42,200. 4.2.3.7. In sensitivity analysis, varying the distribution of initial visual acuity has a significant effect on the ISA. A cohort equally split between the 612 to 624 and 624 to 660 states produced an ISA of about £35,900, while a cohort with initial visual acuity of 624 to 660 produced an ISA of about £46,300. 4.2.3.8. In sensitivity analysis where a higher cost is assumed for providing injections as a day case procedure, the ISA increases substantially to £47,800. The cost of blindness, in particular the uptake of services estimated as the proportion of eligible cases with visual acuity of less than 660 receiving services, had an effect on cost effectiveness. 4.2.3.9. In terms of probabilistic sensitivity analysis, pegaptinib had a probability of being cost-effective, compared with usual care, of 17% at a willingness-to-pay threshold of £20,000 per quality and 58% at a threshold of £30,000 per quality. Ranibizumab, 4.2.3.10. The base case for ICERs, ICERS over a 10-year time horizon for predominantly classic lesions were about £15,600 versus PDT and about £11,400 versus best supportive care. For minimally classic lesions and occult no classic lesions, they were about £25,100 versus best supportive care. 4.2.3.11. The assessment group indicated that as the time horizon is reduced from the extrapolated 10 years, the ICERs increase. For example, in a sensitivity analysis where the time horizon was reduced from 10 years to 5 years, the ISA increased from a range of £11,000 to £15,000 to a range of £16,000 to £43,000 depending on lesion type. 4.2.3.12. In sensitivity analysis, reducing the number of injections from 12 to 9 reduces the ISA from about £15,600 to about £6,900, a reduction of 56% for predominantly classic lesions in comparison with PDT, and from £11,400 to about £6,100, a reduction of 47% for the comparison with best supportive care. For patients with minimally classic and occult no classic lesions, with an assumed maximum treatment duration of 2 years, as observed in the MARINA trial, reducing the number of injections in the first year of treatment from 12 to 9, with a further reduction from 12 to 6 injections in year 2, reduces the ISA considerably from about £25,100 to about £12,600. The assessment group assumed that the QALY gain would not differ with changes in the number of injections. 4.2.3.13. In sensitivity analysis, when the injections were costed as day case rather than outpatient procedures, the ICERs increased, in particular for patients with predominantly classic lesions receiving a maximum of 1 year's treatment. Incremental costs increased by around 70% for the comparison with PDT and around 60% for the comparison with best supportive care. The ICER increased from about £15,600 to about £26,100 for the comparison with PDT and from about £11,400 to about £17,800 for the comparison with best supportive care. For patients with minimally classic and occult no classic lesions, the ICER increased from about £25,100 to about £35,200. 4.2.3.14. The cost-effectiveness estimates were most sensitive to assumptions over uptake estimated as the proportion of eligible patients, that is, those with visual acuity less than 660 receiving services. Using high uptake and high unit cost estimates produces a situation where ranibizumab is dominant with a lower cost and better outcome compared with either PDT or best supportive care for patients with predominantly classic lesions. However, when low costs and medium uptake assumptions are used, the ICER generally increases to about £20,000 from baseline. 4.3. Consideration of the evidence. 4.31. The committee reviewed the data available on the clinical and cost-effectiveness of ranibizumab and pegaptinib. For the treatment of wet AMD, having considered evidence on the nature of the condition and the value placed on the benefits of these drugs by people with wet AMD, those who represented them, and clinical specialists. It was also mindful of the need to take account of the effective use of NHS resources. 4.3.2. The committee considered the clinical effectiveness evidence. It discussed the results for loss of fewer than 15 letters of visual acuity, which was the primary outcome of all the RCTs. It noted that the effective size was greater for all subgroups in the ranibizumab studies, but due to differences in the trial populations, precise direct comparisons are not possible. The committee concluded that both pegaptinib and ranibizumab have been clearly shown to reduce loss of visual acuity compared with sham injection and, additionally, for ranibizumab compared with PDT in patients with predominantly classic lesions. 4.3.3. The committee discussed the RCT results for gain in visual acuity, recognizing the importance of this to patients with AMD. It noted that there were differences in the RCT data for this endpoint between the two treatments. Thus, in the ranibizumab trials, there was a substantial increase in the proportion of patients gaining 15 or more letters of visual acuity, whereas for pegaptinib, relatively few patients gained 15 letters or more. The committee also discussed the RCT results on mean change in visual acuity. Results showed that there were statistically significant net gains in visual acuity for ranibizumab, whereas pegaptinib only reduced the loss of letters. The committee concluded, on the basis of the RTC evidence, that ranibizumab is more clinically effective than pegaptinib in improving net visual acuity. 4.3.4. The committee considered the licensed dose regimen of ranibizumab compared with that used in the main RCTs. It understood that the rationale for the regimen in the marketing and authorization was based on evidence indicating that the beneficial effects of ranibizumab peak at 3 months after three injections, after which a plateau of effect is reached, and that continued monthly injections may not be necessary in all patients to maintain this benefit. However, It was concerned that the results of the peer trial, in which injections were given less frequently after the third month, which is similar to that recommended in the marketing authorization, showed ranibizumab to be less effective than in the Marina and Anchor trials. 4.3.5. The committee discussed the adverse events associated with the use of the anti-VEGFs. The committee heard from clinical specialists that ranibizumab and pegaptinib have a broadly similar adverse event profile, that most adverse events are manageable, and that serious ones are rare. However, the committee considered a point raised by consultees that preliminary results of an ongoing study suggest that ranibizumab may be associated with an increased risk of stroke, and agreed that although this was an important issue, it was inappropriate to draw conclusions at this stage. 4.3.6. The committee considered the economic models provided by the manufacturers and the assessment group. It noted that the assessment group model incorporated additional costs of drug administration and monitoring, which the clinical specialists felt had been underestimated in the manufacturers' models. The committee thought that the assessment group model considered more fully and appropriately the extrapolation into the future of costs and benefits associated with these treatments, and did so for both drugs in a comparable way. The committee concluded that the assessment group model provided more plausible results and more fully explored the uncertainty in assumptions. The committee discussed key parameters which were fundamental to determining the cost-effectiveness of the treatments. These were the possible benefits associated with anti-VEGF treatment beyond the 2 years reported in the clinical trials, possible costs associated with anti-VEGF treatment beyond 2 years, difference between the costs and benefits associated with the license regimen of ranibizumab and the regimen used in the Marina and Anchor RCTs, costs of adequate facilities and staffing for intravitreal injection, utilities used in the modelling, costs related to blindness, including low vision aids, visual rehabilitation and community care, cost-effectiveness of ranibizumab and pegaptinib for subgroups of CNV, relative benefits of the treatment of the better-seeing and poorer-seeing eye. 4.3.8. The committee was concerned that there was no evidence to ascertain how benefits would accrue in the long term if treatment is stopped after 2 years, as assumed in all three economic models. There is therefore uncertainty in appraising the validity of extrapolations made in the models. The approach used in the assessment group model was to assume that benefits of treatment would gradually decline at the same rate as for the usual care cohort, though starting at a higher visual acuity, that is, retaining higher visual acuity levels over the control arm throughout the 10-year time horizon. The committee concluded that although this was not known, the assumption could be accepted as the basis for decision-making. 4.3.9. The committee was concerned about the model's assumption that costs of treatment stopped after 2 years, and that this had a considerable effect on the ICERs generated. It understood that CNV may reoccur after cessation of treatment. It heard from clinical specialists that it's unclear how long treatment would be continued in practice, and that there is an evolving evidence base, and that for some patients it would be appropriate to continue the treatment beyond 2 years into the third or even fourth year. This would result in additional drug administration and monitoring costs in the future, which were not included in the economic models. 4.3.10. The committee was also concerned about the modelling of costs related to differences in the licensing regimen of ranibizumab compared with that used in the Marina and Anchor RCTs, which were used to model clinical effectiveness. The committee was mindful of the results of the peer study showing that the reduced frequency regimen was associated with reduced benefits. Nevertheless, it heard from clinical specialists that the licensed dose is the one most likely to be used in practice, and that the costs of the treatment in the first 2 years in the assessment group model could be considered high. Taking this into account, and the concerns expressed in the previous section 4.3.9 about the cost of treatment beyond 2 years, the committee concluded that on balance, it would be reasonable to accept a base case scenario in which total cost was based on 24 doses. 4.3.11. The committee discussed the assumptions in the models for the costs of administering intravitreal injections. The committee heard from clinical specialists that the costs of appropriate facilities and staffing for intravitreal injection were higher than had been assumed in the base case of the models. The committee heard from the assessment group that the sensitivity analysis in its economic model, in which the intravitreal injections were assumed to be given as a day case procedure, was broadly in line with costs anticipated by the clinical specialists. Thus, the committee concluded that the sensitivity analysis using costs for day case treatment for the assessment group were the closest estimates of the actual costs incurred in practice by the NHS. 4.3.12. The committee discussed the utilities used in the models. It considered that it may have been more appropriate to use utilities derived from using a generic and validated classification system such as the EQ5D, rather than those used in both the assessment group and manufacturer's models. It noted that the use of the EQ5D might result in a much smaller difference, perhaps by as much as a factor of 4, between utilities reflecting the best and the worst vision states in the economic models, but nevertheless accepted the utilities used in the assessment group model as a guide to its decision-making. 4.3.13. The committee heard from the clinical specialist that assumptions in the assessment group model for costs related to blindness, such as registration, low vision aids and rehabilitation, were low, if not for standard practice, then for best practice. This would mean that the incremental costs associated with anti-VEGFs compared with standard treatment had been overestimated because use of anti-VEGFs would save more on costs related to blindness. However, the committee concluded that on balance, overestimation of the QALY gain discussed in the previous paragraph 4.3.12 could be offset by this overestimation of the incremental costs, and therefore accepted both the utility and cost of blindness assumptions in the assessment group model. 4.3.14. The committee discussed the variation in cost effectiveness of ranibizumab by lesion subgroup. In view of its considerations regarding the assumptions used for economic evaluation, the committee considered that the most plausible ISA for ranibizumab compared with the best supportive care in patients with minimally classic or occult no classic CNV was £35,200 per QALY gained. For ranibizumab compared with the best supportive care in patients with predominantly classic lesions, the most plausible ISA was £17,800 per QALY gain. For ranibizumab compared with PDT in patients with predominantly classic lesions, the most plausible ISA was £26,100 per QALY gained. It concluded that the use of ranibizumab could be considered cost-effective in predominantly classic lesions, consistent with the population in the trials, but not in minimally classic occult no classic lesions. 4.3.15. The committee considered the cost-effectiveness of pegaptinib in view of its considerations regarding the assumptions used for economic evaluation. It noted that although pegaptinib was less expensive than ranibizumab, it was notably less clinically effective. it considered the most plausible ISA for pegaptinib compared with the best supportive care to be £47,800 per quali gained. It discussed whether there was clear evidence of cost-effectiveness of pegaptinib in any particular subgroup and considered that this was not the case. It concluded that pegaptinib is not cost-effective for the treatment of wet AMD. 4.3.16. The committee discussed the cost-effectiveness of treating only the better-seeing eye compared to treating the worse-seeing eye. The committee noted that both the manufacturer's models and the assessment group model reflected the cost-effectiveness of treating the better-seeing eye only, and that no cost-effectiveness estimates were presented for the treatment of both eyes. It understood that the reduction in quality of life of moving from binocular vision to monocular vision was much smaller than the reduction in quality of life of moving from monocular vision to very poor vision. It was therefore of the opinion that the cost-effectiveness of anti-VEGFs would be markedly poorer if calculations had been based on the treatment of the worst-seeing eye. The committee concluded that ranibizumab is only cost-effective compared with standard treatment if treatment is for the better-seeing eye only. 4.3.17. The committee considered combination use of ranibizumab and PDT. It noted that the FOCUS trial showed improved visual acuity when patients were treated with ranibizumab plus PDT compared with PDT alone. However, the results for combination therapy were no better than the results for monotherapy seen in the other trials. The evidence presented for this appraisal did not include any estimates of the cost-effectiveness of combination therapy compared with standard practice. It noted that the marketing authorization for ranibizumab does not specify whether its recommendations apply to combination therapy or monotherapy alone. The committee concluded that it was not in a position to make recommendations about combination use. 4.3.18. In summary, the committee concluded that both panactimib and ranibizumab are clinically effective in the treatment of wet AMD, but that ranibizumab is associated with greater clinical benefit. It further concluded that treatment with ranibizumab is cost-effective compared with standard care for patients with predominantly classic CNV, but not for use in patients with minimally classic or occult no-classic AMD, and that treatment with pegaptinib is not cost-effective for the treatment of wet AMD.